Now, coming to the 11th chapter, this is important because it is especially the chapter of the two witnesses. Now, John doesn't witness the two witnesses. Everything is told him. You will notice that especially, that he doesn't witness through the chapter. They just tell him what will take place. First, there is given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. I feel that this goes back. The reason I feel so is because of the ministry of the two witnesses. Now, the fact that it is measured indicates that God is owning it. And naturally, things will be swinging back to Jewish grounds. The court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Somebody take some scriptures. Will you take Nehemiah 11:1? Somebody. And while you're there, you'll read the 18th verse also. Somebody take Isaiah 52:1. And somebody will take Matthew 27. I've got that so blurred out there that I'll have to turn and read that one myself. I know what I want. Go ahead and read the passage in Nehemiah 11:1. Notice, I just wanted you to notice that the holy city. Now read the 18th verse. Now, did I give out another one there? Guess I didn't, did I? Oh yes, that's right. In Matthew 37:53, came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. As far as I know, Jerusalem is the only city that is called holy. Bethlehem is called the city of David. Jerusalem is called the city of the great king. And later in this same chapter, we'll hear it called Sodom and Egypt. But the court, now the Gentiles are going to tread this underfoot 3.5 years, and this is not a part of the times of the Gentiles. Otherwise, it would have no meaning. Now he tells what he's going to do. I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now we read of these back in Zechariah, if you remember. And I have one book by Sice, Brother Copley quotes from him. He was a good writer. But he goes to extremely great lengths to prove that this was Elijah and Moses, I believe it is. And I have heard it said that they were Elijah and Enoch. And then one preacher that I knew quite well always preached it was John and Daniel, because John and Daniel were the prophets of the tribulation. And then Jesus speaks, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And he'd always say, there's no record of Daniel's dying. In other words, he must have gone to heaven without dying. Well, when God wanted to lead Israel out, he had Moses and Aaron, didn't he? When he wanted the children of Israel to be led back out of the land of Babylon, he had Zerubbabel, the leader, and Jeshua, the high priest. He had two prophets at that time, Haggai and Malachi. And when Jesus sent out the 12, he sent them 2 and 2. And so God will raise up 2 men for this particular purpose. It would seem strange to me for anybody to believe that Enoch and Elijah, you know, Enoch has been in heaven a long, long time. He's the oldest man that ever lived, because he never died. And it would seem strange that after all this time, they would be ordered to come back and die. Seems strange, doesn't it, that people would hold to that. But going on, they'll prophesy clothed in sackcloth, the 3rd verse. Now, I talked to Brother Copley about them one time, and he said, this is my thought. The beast will make a covenant with the Jews. And these 2 men will be raised up of God to denounce that thing. You know, the beast will hate them and make war with him. And I think it'll be very humiliating to him to have to make war with 2 poor old Jews. They may not be old, but be embarrassing to him. They'll be clothed in sackcloth, showing the sadness of their time. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks which stand before the God of the earth. This is the same language that's used in the Old Testament. Notice Zechariah 4:14. When he's describing this, there he speaks of the Lord of the earth. And I thought this was interesting, because usually he's spoken of as the God of heaven. But here he's spoken of as the God of the earth. And in Zechariah 4:14 it said, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord, of the whole earth. And here it says, stand before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them. Now notice again, John isn't seeing them, he's hearing. Fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now if you wanted to turn back to the book of 2 Kings, you will find on two occasions, 50 men with a captain over them were sent against Elijah. And the king that sent them was a very ungodly man. And they didn't make any petition to him. They just said, come down. They gave an order. The 9th verse says, the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, saying, thy man of God, the king has said, come down. I expect he just expected that king, that man, to jump up and follow him. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it happened. So he sent another 50. Here's what he said. O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. Hurry up. I'm tired of waiting on you. You've been keeping me waiting. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And it did so. The next fellow showed a little better judgment. And there were many times when fire came from heaven. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad. Fire fell from heaven, burned up Job's sheep. And fire fell when Moses had set up the tabernacle and the altar. In David's time, God answered him by fire. In Elijah's time, when he built the altar, as recorded in back in the book of 1 Kings, fire fell. Fire fell on the day of Pentecost. But here, fire is going to come out of their mouths and devour their enemies. And their power, the 6th verse, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Elijah prayed and the heavens were closed for 3.5 years. They have power over waters to turn them to blood. The Lord spoke to Moses along this line that he would pour water and it would turn to blood. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now diplomatically, that would be a great argument, wouldn't it? Let's suppose these two men meet with a diplomat from one of the European nations and he puts great pressure on them and one of them suddenly says, listen, when you get back to your town, every person in town is going to have terminal cancer. They go back and that's happened. That's what it means. They can smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. They'll need power like this. They'll be combating the devil himself and the demons and all the hosts of evil. And when they shall have finished their testimony, now notice again, John hasn't seen them preach, he's just being told this. The beast, and here is the first mention of the beast. He's mentioned, I believe, some 36 times, I believe it is, or maybe that's the dragon. Anyway, this is the first mention of the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Now he's going to be killed and he'll take a trip through the bottomless pit. A woman called me up one time. Now, Brother Compley infers that maybe he will be dead 3 days. And his Sunday school teacher called me up and wanted to know where the Bible said the beast would be dead 3 days. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he will be dead 3 days. Brother Compley says maybe he will to imitate Christ. Nothing wrong with his statement. He ascendeth out of the bottomless pit and shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now in the 13th chapter, we read that the beast will make war with the saints, this we believe to be Jewish saints. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was Jesus crucified? And at Jerusalem, wasn't he? I told you about the man that I knew personally that believed he was one of the two olive trees. And he said to a friend of mine, doubtless the Lord will reveal to you that you are the other one. And in the early, my sister received a letter from a man in Arkansas. And he said, I am one of the two witnesses. He said, it's not going to rain anymore for so many years. And he wanted her to send him some money. He didn't send him any money. I doubt if the two witnesses will take up an offering. Well, what I'm driving at is that these two witnesses are going to be Palestinian ministers. Because of their position and their denunciation, now, during the 30s, when Mr. Roosevelt came to office, he started certain things like the youth administration, the WPA, and other things. And I knew a preacher that began to denounce it, and they put him in jail. And These men will be opposed to the order of the day, and they will back up their arguments with great power. They will kill them, and they will have their ministry in the land of Palestine. They of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall have a picnic. They'll rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Sad when the preaching of the word of God and performing miracles in Jesus' name is a torment. In the early days of Pentecost, I was reading this yesterday, a man went into Arkansas, and they had a great revival, and six men on horses got after him. They were going to kill him, and he was in a buggy, evidently, and he gave his horses the rein, and he escaped. And he said he had seen men crouching in fence corners to kill him. How good to know that God is able to protect us. A fella up in the north, I believe he's from Des Moines, I don't remember, but he boasted that he had four bodyguards. Well, he had a bodyguard because he was attacking the underworld and glorying in it. Well, I've never forgotten what a Methodist preacher said one time. The Salvation Army said, let's get ourselves deputized and clean up this town. The Methodist preacher said, God called me to preach the gospel, not to arrest people. And I believe that. I'm willing to lift my voice against any manner of sin, but to go out and run a crusade. A policeman, and I liked him, came to our meeting in Kansas City, Kansas, and he wanted me to help him clean up that part of Kansas City, and because I wouldn't do it, quit the meeting. But these two men will be in a different position. I was looking at that word, three. And the gospel will torment the men of the day. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, I think their not being put in graves will be used of God. Probably television cameras, God will see in his providence that television cameras will be placed on them this time. When television was new, I was in somebody's home and they had television on. And in those days, they'd put on a live program. And there were five or six people got shot and killed, and they carefully draped some blankets over them. And they thought the camera's off and they got it walked off. They quit doing that. It really was comical. Well, now here's what's going to happen as people watch. They're going to stand up on their feet. And this is going to be tremendous. There is something superstitious about the dead. I don't know what it is. I can remember hearing this story as a child. It hasn't been too many years since many people went around the country in covered wagons. I can remember some of them. And a man made the statement that he always camped. When he had to camp, he'd camp near a graveyard if he could, because nobody bothered him. And they will see these dead bodies. And in God's providence, they will be watching when he raises them, and they'll hear this great voice, come up hither. They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, perhaps other saints. Their enemies beheld them. Now, we can't prove that. We just say it's a possibility. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Seemingly, some people decide to believe. Now, you take those that Jesus went and preached to, the spirits in prison. Now, one man, and you'd be surprised if I tell you who it was. It wasn't anybody, the pastor in Kansas City, but he believed that Jesus went down there and taunted the spirits that were lost. Well, that isn't God's way. God doesn't put somebody in hell and taunt him. It's good enough for you to be here. You got what's coming to you. You never can get out, and I'm glad of it. But those spirits in prison, it said, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Now, you can imply from that after the rain began to fall, how people have pictures and imaginations of everybody running the ark beginning to pound. They didn't. If all the mountains were covered, over 700 feet of water fell a day for 40 days. It had to cover Mount Everest. Mount Everest is nearly 30,000 feet high, and it rained for 40 days. But seemingly, some people began to believe. And after the two witnesses are gone, seemingly here, some people may believe. Anyway, there will be those that will be the victims of the beast's sword and his murderous decrees. Now this is the end of the second war, and you will notice that it takes place right in the middle of the week, right when the two witnesses are killed. The end of the second war, and it will be a war when God's great witnesses come to an end. The second war is past, the third war cometh quickly. The seventh angel sounded. Now remember that in the 10th chapter it is said that in the days of the seventh angel the mystery of God should be finished. So it evidently reaches over the seven trumpets, or the seven vials, or seven bowls, which we will get to in the 15th and 16th chapters. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world. Now this seems to go clear down to the end of the tribulation. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. You remember the devil will come down from heaven having great wrath. And here the nations are angry, and God's wrath is come. To use a common expression, everybody's going to be mad. And you know what happens. Trouble ensues. Anger is a deep displeasure, just something welling up in you till you want to do something. I've seen vicious men. I saw a man hold a bunch of men at bay with a gun. I saw a man started to run. I saw another one jerk his pistol and started shooting at him. Well, this is the wrath of man, the wrath of God. In Revelation 12, the wrath of Satan. The time of the dead that they should be judged. Now this indicates that it goes to the time beyond the tribulation, when God will give reward to all of his servants, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. We read of so much thunder and lightning in this book. But the temple being open and the Ark of the Covenant, the Jews have no Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was the all-inclusive type of Christ in many respects. It was the Ark of the Testament, that is the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark held the Ten Commandments, and they're called the Covenant. And it's an indication that God will keep his covenant with Israel.